Hey, this is Brendan Gersall from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in.
It wasn't too long ago, I was doom scrolling, which don't do that, by the way. Nothing good ever comes of it, except this one thing. I'm doom scrolling, and one of those pop-up quizzes came on that said, "What animal are you most like?" I had to know, so I clicked on it and proceeded to fill out, embarrassingly, 50 questions. Hey, man, I don't know. When I commit to something, I'm in. And so I did the whole personality profile, and I punched in my answer, and then, of course, it says, to find out, give us your email, and we'll email it to you. I'm like, oh, man. So I gave them my email because I had to know. And so I put my info in, it spit out the email, and I clicked open. The animal Brent Ingersoll is most like the Black Panther. Call me T'Challa. Wakanda forever. I had some of my Nigerian, my African friends out after first service. I go, what do you think, T'Challa? They're like, yeah, no. What animal do you think you're most like? What would you pick? How would you describe yourself? Oh, I'm like a dog. I'm a cat. That's a good guess. Maybe some of you are like, no, I'm like a majestic horse. I'm a unicorn if I really had to pick. I'm an emu or an alpaca. I don't know. What would you pick? Well, I can tell you what you're most like. A sheep. That is the animal, at least biblically speaking, that human beings are most like. Now, I realize that might be a little bit of a disappointing comparison. It is, you know, they're lovable, they're cute, delicious. you ever had lamb chops? Come on. I hear some, aw. And another vegetarian left the church. But as much as, like, the comparison to sheep is not inspiring, like, it is not inspiring at all. Like, no hockey team, like, hey, boys, what's our name going to be this year? They're never like, let's call ourselves the sheep. It's never happened. I've coached, like, junior basketball multiple times, and never have those kids selected, hey, you know what will put fear in the hearts of our opponents? Let's call ourselves the sheep. It's never happened. It's not an inspiring comparison for us, but it is insightful. It does give us some really helpful ways to understand ourselves, especially in relationship with God. Last week, we kicked off a new series called 23, where we're looking at Psalm 23. We're going to look at in depth over these next handful of weeks. So much so that we preached just one message last week on the first word of Psalm 23, verse 1. If you were here, if you weren't here, you should go back and check it out. But I'll give you a little recap on what we found out last week. First is that Psalm 23 is known as a trust psalm. The design behind trust psalms is to do just that, to get us to trust God, to trust Yahweh, to trust Jesus more. And we looked at last week, Psalm 23, and we started into verse 1. In the first word of the first verse, the word is the Lord. And we found out it is actually one word in Hebrew, the word YHWH, which is the divine name of God, which if pronounced sounds like Yahweh. And we learned that the name of the Lord reveals a few things. It reveals his nature, like who he is, that God is God. He said, I am that I am. And that God is approachable, that he's good. He says, call me Yahweh. He wants relationship with us. It reveals our need, that we talked about how, like, ingrained in our biology and our sociology and our minds and our spirits is this deep need for God, the breath of God, who is our life. And we talked about how the name of Yahweh actually reveals good news, how it points forward to Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh saves, and how through him we can have life and salvation. We also learned last week that Psalm 23 was a psalm written by a man named David. Now, most of us probably have heard of the name David. It's the famous guy who took out Goliath. But David actually wrote this psalm later on in his life. It's believed by most scholars, even though we can't timestamp it, that this is one of the later psalms that he would have ever written. And so this reflective sort of vibe you get from him as he looks back over his life, it is so potent because he has vast living experience. You want to talk about a resume of a man's life. You think about David. He starts out in obscurity. He's a shepherd tending his father's flock. In fact, he was the runt of the litter. He had seven older brothers. He was overlooked and picked on. This family did not really appreciate him. And then out of nowhere, the prophet Samuel comes and anoints David and says, "You're going to be the next king of Israel." That's a big day for a young guy. He also famously came out of the field one day where Israel were at war with the Philistines and they were frozen in terror because of this guy named Goliath, this giant. And David actually took out Goliath with a sling and a stone. And then fun, this is how's this day for a day for a teenager? He takes Goliath's own sword and cuts his head off. There's a trophy for a young man, right? Like, this guy lived a life. After he beat Goliath, he actually was brought into Saul's service, where he served Saul as an aide and as a musician who kind of just helped and be around Saul through his singing and through his playing of the harp. We also find out later that David became a war hero, like victory after victory. He wrote psalms and songs. David engineered Jerusalem after he became king. Before that, though, Saul was trying to kill him. This man spent time as a fugitive, running for his life. He becomes king. He engineers Jerusalem to be this capital city. And then ultimately he becomes king and he deals with all kinds of stuff. He has a massive failure in his life where he ends up having an affair and cheating on or sleeping with his friend's wife and then trying to cover it up by having him murdered. Like, it's a dark time in his life. This guy had many family struggles. I mean, he knew what it is to have a broken family. He had multiple wives, which there's your first problem. One is more than enough to handle. Can I get an amen? But then, like, he had, like, so much family dysfunction going on, like, just all kinds of struggles. He had one son that tried to dethrone him and usurp him, and then this son tragically died, and David mourned that. David lost another son early in his life. David had lived a very dynamic life. He'd experienced riches and poverty. He'd experienced victory and failure. He'd experienced joy and sadness, pleasure and pain, glory and shame, peace and anxiety, courage and fear, like the whole scope of living David had truly experienced. And so it's in light of that, looking back over his life, he writes these words. Psalm 23, verse 1. He says, "The Lord, Yahweh, the Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Yahweh Roi Lo Exar." That's what that is. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Now today I want to zoom in on the Lord as our shepherd. Next week we'll talk about lacking nothing. But what does it mean? What does David mean by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd"? I'll give my note-taking friends my answers up front and then we'll unpack it. We're going to look at the implications of the shepherd, what's loaded in that statement. We're going to look at the incarnation of the good shepherd, how the gospel invites us into life in following Jesus, the good shepherd, and then the invitation. What does that look like to follow him? You ready? You with me? You awake? All right, let's unpack the first one. Let's talk about the implications of that statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." Here is the implication. Here is kind of coded in that statement what David is ultimately saying about himself, and I would present this to us as well as true, that I am a sheep who needs a shepherd. I am a sheep who needs a shepherd. It is interesting to think that David is the author who says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's my shepherd. That after all these years, David, maybe middle-aged, maybe 50 years old, maybe 60 years old, having spent decades ruling over Israel, having gone to war, father, husband, nation builder, songwriter, we talked about his resume. If there was ever somebody who lived an extraordinary life and ever somebody who was ultra gifted as a human being, it was David. And yet he makes this claim, which in itself is an admission, that I need a shepherd. That even though I'm a king, at the end of the day, I'm more like a sheep who needs a shepherd. There is an admission of being a sheep. There's an admission of his deep need for shepherding, for care that he cannot provide for himself. He's diagnosing his limits and saying, I need a shepherd. There's this humble admission of need going on here. And David compares himself ultimately to a sheep. Now, David spent years with sheep. He knew sheep. He was a shepherd for a season. He'd spent years in the field with them. He cared for them. He fed them, got them water. He protected them. He slept with them at night, and he watched over them by day. He spent so much time. This man was an expert on sheep. And he concluded after observing these sheep for these years, you know what? I'm a lot like a sheep. Interesting. I've spent time with animals, specifically one animal. And when you spend a lot of time with animals, you do get to know them very well. I have a dog named C.S. Lewis. And I've had him for 6 years. I love this dog. I love him very, very much, and he loves me very, very much. And I have spent a lot of time with Lewis. I care for him. I walk him daily. I feed him. I love him, and he loves me. He's my purebred good boy. You hear the emotion in my heart. I love that dog. He's annoying a lot of the time. He pooped on my floor yesterday, which... That wasn't his best moment. But you know, like, because of the amount of time I've spent with Lewis, I know him very well. I know the different tones of his bark. I know when he needs to be fed. I know when he's thirsty. I know when he's not feeling well. I know when he's upset. I can tell when he's scared. Like, I know my dog because I've spent time with my dog. And you know what? In all of my time with him, never once have I looked at my dog and thought, you know what, Lewis? We're a lot alike. It's never happened. I've never thought I'm a lot like my dog, even though I know my dog very well. And so it's very interesting to think with David's knowledge of sheep, he determines there's a lot of similarities between those sheep and me. So what is it about sheep that he's determining, you know, I'm a lot like that? Here's a few thoughts from David, the expert shepherd. Here's what sheep are like. First, sheep are easily disorientated. They're easily disoriented. They get lost. They wander off. They get in trouble easily. Sheep do not have a great sense of direction. You know, some animals have incredible inbuilt, like, sonar, GPS. They can find their way home, like dogs and cats. We've heard stories of them finding their way to their family after getting lost. You think about the Atlantic salmon. It swims clear to Greenland and then comes back to New Brunswick and into the river systems to go back and spawn in the exact place they were born. How do they know that? It's inbuilt. They can just navigate. You think about, where are my birders at? Oh, stand up and be counted, birders. Come on now. Birders, loud and proud. The Arctic tern flies annually from the North Pole to the South Pole and back every year. 70,000 kilometer round trip. It just finds its way, flapping its wings around the globe. Do you know, I started nerding out on the Arctic tern for a little while this week. Do you know, in their lifetime, they will have flown the equivalent of 3 trips to the moon and back. Little flappy bird, knows how to get where it wants to go. Sheep, on the other hand, sheep were not blessed with a great sense of direction. Exhibit A. Us. David says, you know what? I'm a lot like a sheep. I can wander off. I can stumble back into the same problems. I can find myself just getting disorientated and end up in a position where I ask myself the question, how did I get here? Have you ever had that moment? You ever had a moment where you just have a sobering, like the prodigal son. It says when he came to his senses and he realized the mess he'd made of his life. See, we're sheep, and we can easily get lost. You have had those moments where you ask yourself the question, how did I get here? And the reason is because you're a sheep. And all God's people said, bah. Yeah. Sheep are easily disoriented. They're also easily distressed. It's a scary world to be a sheep because they are ultimately defenseless. They have no real way of protecting themselves. They aren't equipped like some animals with teeth that can bite or some poison self-defense mechanism. They can't hurl acid at you like those dinosaurs from Jurassic Park. They don't have any cool defense stuff, nothing cool. They require shelter and cover and warmth. They have to be completely protected and taken care of. They don't have sharp teeth or claws. Here's what their last line of defense looks like. That's it. That's all they got. When push comes to shove, they can run, but here's the tragedy. They're slow. They're like walking buffets for predators. They're like those sushi lines that just kind of come out along and you just pick away at them. They have no way of fighting off threats that can just take them out whenever they want. You ever have a moment where you just are overwhelmed at the fragility and vulnerability of your life? It's because we're like sheep. There are forces in this world that in a moment can take us out. Sheep are highly distressed. And then ultimately, sheep are highly dependent. They're domestic animals. They can't hunt, they can't fish, they can't cook, they can't feed themselves. They have to be led to be fed. They have to be protected and brought into places where they can eat and have water. You've never on a hike seen, oh, look at that wild deer. And look at those beautiful wild birds. And oh, there's a wild sheep. You've never seen a wild sheep. Because they're domestic animals. And some of you think, well, there is the mountain doll sheep. Okay, so there's a doll sheep that lives in the mountains, but we're talking about domestic sheep here. This is the comparison that David is making. And it's a huge statement that this incredible human being, this man that I guarantee you, as impressive as some of you are, David is more impressive. I mean, this guy had everything, all the talent, power, riches, wealth, notoriety. Like, this guy had it all, and he realized something, that I need a shepherd. This Psalm 23, verse 1, like, this claim, the Lord is my shepherd, is a strong admission of our need. It is to admit that I need help, that left to myself, it's going to go badly. Now, some of you might think, no, I'm that doll sheep. No, you're not. You're a sheep. You're like a sheep. And if you're honest with your own track record, or you take seriously what the Bible says, you'll see that to be true. Isaiah 53 says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We've all done it. We've left God's path to follow our own. David says, I'm a sheep, and the Lord is my shepherd. It's the recognition of need, that the implication. When you read Psalm 23, verse 1, and you see that statement that says, the Lord is my shepherd, there is a recognition of need, that we are sheep who need a shepherd. Second, let's go into the second thing. Let's talk about the incarnation of the shepherd and how the gospel proclaims Jesus as the best shepherd for human sheep. That Jesus ultimately is the choice to make when it comes to choosing a shepherd to follow. There's a declaration in Psalm 23. David is not just declaring that he is a sheep who needs a shepherd, but he claims his shepherd. It's who? It's the Lord. He says Yahweh. He names his name. Again, this is not some general idea. He specifically says, Yahweh is my shepherd. And so there's a decision there. He's saying, I have seen the options in this world. I've seen government's ability to lead. I've seen my own ability to lead. I've seen all the options, and I'm choosing at this state of my life. I look back over and I say, I'm thankful that Yahweh is my shepherd. Of all the potential shepherds, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. Now, we looked in depth last week at the meaning of the name Yahweh. And if we can do the math on what that meaning of his name means, and we put that with the fact that David is claiming him as shepherd, it says a lot of things to us. First, this claim that David is making, it infers that there are bad shepherds. that Yahweh is the right shepherd, which we'll talk about that in a second, but David is also saying that all the other shepherds are poor options compared to Yahweh. Let's talk about some of these bad shepherds. The Bible, if we had time to do the deep dive, we'd learn a lot, but I'll just give you an overview. The Bible basically categorizes three main enemies of your soul: the world, the devil, and the flesh. And you see that from Genesis 3 right through into the Gospels and then ultimately into the letters. It's there. These are the things. These are the quote-unquote shepherds or forms of shepherds that will have come that will lead us badly. Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, as for you, talking about the old life, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, the flesh, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, the world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the devil. He highlights, and you can find this all through the scripture, these bad shepherds. So let's break them down for a couple of minutes. Let's talk about the flesh. How the flesh leads us poorly. When the Bible talks about the flesh, it's talking about like you. It's talking about your base urges, your desires, your longings, the hungers and the aches inside of you, your thinking, your ideas, your mindset. It's me. I am my flesh. And we all know what it means to give in to the urges of our flesh, don't we? Like we do what feels right to us or seems right to us. This is what the Bible calls sowing to please the flesh. Paul talked about it in Galatians. He says, do not sow to gratify the cravings of your flesh, for you will reap destruction. The flesh, the self, makes a really poor shepherd. It leads us badly. Let's just get some honest sheep at King's Church today. How many of you had done something that felt good in the moment and felt so right and then turned out so wrong? Yeah, it's because the flesh is a bad shepherd. It leads us poorly. So here's some pro tips. You can write these down. Don't trust your gut. Don't be true to yourself. Do not follow your heart under any circumstance. Don't do it because it feels good. It all leads to death. Solomon, the son of David, wrote these words in Proverbs chapter 14. He says, there's a way that it appears right, it seems right to a man, but it ends in destruction. It ends in death. And if you've lived long enough and tried to follow Jesus and tried to do things your own way, you've probably experienced that because you're a sheep. We reap destruction when we give in to the flesh. I was texting with an old childhood friend of mine this past week, and we were talking about somebody who actually mentored us growing up that just completely blew his life up, just gave in to just these base urges and just threw caution to the wind. He's lost his family, blew everything up, and it's this tragedy of how the flesh will lead you to destruction. And it's not just destruction, too. Here's a thought. When we follow the flesh, it leads ultimately to destruction, but sometimes before you get to destruction, it actually leads you to disappointment. Have you ever gotten the thing that you thought you wanted and then realized it didn't do it for you? I mean, there are many, many miserable billionaires. See, David knew it. He's like, I've had the money, I've had the fame, I've had the notoriety, I've tried to do things my own way, destroyed my household, betrayed a friend. It didn't go well, David says. I'm a bad shepherd. So the flesh is a bad shepherd. The world is a bad shepherd. The powers and the thinking of this world, the values of this world, the systems of this world, it will not lead you well. For all of our technology and the wonder of society and even like democracy, for all of the incredible things that we can say are true of the world, we still haven't solved the most basic problems. Mass poverty exists, wars, division, racism, sexism, classism, all the isms. The world likes to promise utopia, though, doesn't it? Oh, if we just get the conservatives back in the house. Yeah, I've lived long enough to see that pendulum swing. Oh, if Elon Musk just gets Neuralink going, then we're going to be fine. AI is going to save us. No, I don't think any of us think that. They're going to harvest us is what they're going to do. It's crazy. We're all going to wake up in pods like Neo in the Matrix one of these days, and they're stealing our energy. Yeah, anyway, dude, you are a nerd, someone just thought. Yeah. No, we just need the right government. No, if everybody just had the same fair chance. No, because the human heart is wicked, and we create a wicked world out of it. It's interesting to think that David had tried his hand for decades at ruling people. He was a king, and a pretty good one. He built cities, conquered nations. And here's David saying, you know what? The powers of this world, bad shepherd. And then the third shepherd that the Bible likes to highlight, the Bible will highlight, is the devil. It's the devil. Paul in Ephesians 2, we just read it, called him the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That there are powers in the atmosphere that are out there to deceive and destroy us. And I just want to say, like, this is reality. Demons are real. Powers and principalities are real. Satan is real. And I think it's really hard to look at the world and the evil in the world and the wickedness in the world and determine otherwise. And actually, we're in a time right now where more people are open to the reality of spiritual powers than ever before in my lifetime. This is good in some ways because a lot of people are finding Jesus. More of that, Lord. Amen? Amen? It's also not good because a lot of people are just opening themselves up to whatever spiritual power they can find. Like the rise of witchcraft and Wicca. Like these are like emerging religions where people are experiencing real powers. And can I just say, like, pastorally over you, King's Church, like, witchcraft, Ouija boards, tarot cards, the occult, Wicca, energy healing, like flee from that stuff. Because there is real power there that will subtly, and it's always subtle and deceptive. The Bible says that the devil masquerades shows himself. What's the word I'm looking for? As an angel of light, disguises himself as an angel of light, wanting to entice us into following him, ultimately to destruction. I mean, that's what the Antichrist is going to be. Someone that presents themselves as the Savior, as somebody that's going to fix all the world's problems, and it's going to reap destruction. So David says, I don't trust myself, I don't trust the world, and I don't trust the devil, I trust the Lord. Yahweh is my shepherd, David says. There are bad shepherds, and David is giving us this testimony in Psalm 23, verse 1. But I know the good shepherd. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. We looked last week at how Yahweh is fulfilled in the person of Jesus, Yeshua. Yahweh saves. And Jesus sets himself up as the good shepherd. Now, in light of the bad shepherds and in light of David's claim, let's look at the words of Jesus here, John chapter 10. Jesus says this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they, the sheep, may have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly to the overflow. Here's what he says about himself. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. There are bad shepherds, but I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. See, what the hired hand does, these bad shepherds, they don't own the sheep. They don't ultimately care about the well-being of the sheep, Jesus is saying. So when they see the wolf coming, they abandon the sheep and they run away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So what's Jesus saying? He's saying, I am the good shepherd. I care for my sheep. I lay my life down for my sheep. See, Jesus is ultimately the shepherd worth following. He is the one that we should ultimately trust. And can I just say to some of you, if you never decided to follow Jesus, make today the day you decide to follow him. Like, I'm trusting my life to Jesus to lead me. That's what being a Christian is. I'm trusting Jesus for my life. That's it. I'm trusting the resurrected Jesus for my life. But why? Let me just make a few statements on why we should trust Jesus as our good shepherd. Here's the first thing, because Jesus, he promised it. He made the claim. He said, I am the good shepherd. This is who I am. I came here to shepherd you well and be good to you. This is why we talk about the gospel, the incarnation. God sent his son into the world to save us, to save sinners, to save and find lost sheep. There's multiple parables Jesus talked about. Finding lost sheep, bringing the sheep back into the fold, leading us into green pasture. The scripture is full of that analogy because that's ultimately what Jesus came to do. And he makes that claim about himself. He says, I am here ultimately to be the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And it's not just that he made the claim, it's in his name. We talked about that last week. That if we're talking about Yahweh as our shepherd, hang with me. Think about the name of Yahweh again. Go back to what we talked about last week. And if you missed that message, you should go back and listen to it. But if Yahweh is God, he said, I am that I am. I'm self-existent. If he is the Almighty, does anybody in all of the universe know more about human flourishing than him? Nobody. It's in his name. I'm God. I am the I am, he says. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. So if the Lord is your shepherd, if God is your shepherd, think about this. If the Lord is your shepherd, then you have a shepherd who knows everything. You don't have to know everything because he does. Who owns everything, can provide for you whatever, whenever, wherever you need it. You have a shepherd who can do anything. He's omnipotent. We talked about that last week. He has all power. So there's literally no enemy. There's no force. There's no chain. There's no wall. There's no darkness that he's not more powerful than. You have a shepherd who's been everywhere. The writer of Hebrews says we have a sympathetic high priest who knows what it is to go through what we go through. He knows it. He's not just been everywhere. I love to think about this sometimes, especially when I get scared of the future. I have a shepherd who's been every when. I am. I exist, he said. I was. I is. I is to come. How freeing is it to know that Jesus, the good shepherd, is already in tomorrow? He's like, you can only see today, but I'm already in tomorrow and the next day and forevermore. You have a shepherd who's been every when, and you have a shepherd who's stronger than any enemy, even death. If he can raise himself, can't he raise us? We can trust him because it's in his name. He's God. God can do whatever he wants. So what better shepherd to trust than the one who designed life? The one who, think about this, Jesus is the foremost expert on human life. Let me say it again. Jesus is an expert at human flourishing. Nobody knows what it takes to make a human flourish and be fulfilled like Jesus does. He knows life. He's an expert in it. And here's the better news. He knows sheep. And for all the people who deal with that religious slave master that climbs up inside of us sometimes, let's just soak in the fact that Jesus knows I'm a sheep. He knows who I am. He knows my strengths and my weaknesses. He knows my past and my mistakes. He knew who we were when he paid the price for our lives. Like, we're not surprising him. Sometimes you get in church context, you're like, okay, I'm going to clean myself up and put on a suit and a hat and try to look really good and appropriate and stuff, because we all talk like that. And Jesus is like, I know what you are. You're a sheep. I know your frame. I know your weaknesses. I know your needs. And he loves us. That's the incredible part. He knows we're sheep. And get this, he's an expert at leading sheep. He's an expert at saving sheep. He's an expert at redeeming sheep who fall into those ditches. How many of you followed Jesus long enough? It's one of the many reasons why when I look back over my life, I just like, glory be your name. There have been so many times where I've done the wrong thing. There's been times where I've done the wrong thing and I knew it was the wrong thing, and we call that sin. And you know what? He's an expert at dealing with our sin. I'm so thankful for that. One of the signs that you have a right understanding of the gospel and who Jesus is that when you become aware of a sin and a shortcoming, you run to him, not away from him. Like, oh God, look, I got in this mess. Clean me up, good shepherd. So there's been times in my life where I've done the wrong thing and I knew it. There's also been times in my life where I had the right intentions and I thought this was the right decision, and I thought maybe even I heard God, and turns out I didn't. Has anybody ever done that? Like, oh, I thought God was leading me here, and then you wake up and you're like, this clearly is not God's plan. And you even get a like confirmation from the Spirit, like, yeah, that wasn't my plan. Not at all. You did that, bro. That was you. But you know what I've found? Like, the good shepherd is able. I've had this happen more times than you probably want to know, where I've felt the Lord say, okay, so we're here now. We did this and we went there. Okay, well, let's bring redemption into here now. Like some of you, like I thought God was asking me to move this place. I moved my family to this place and we thought God was in it. And now it turns out this is the worst decision ever. Here's the good news. The good shepherd is able to work with you where you are when you're there. That's so incredible. Just like relax. The shepherd's got you. Like, well, what if I made a mistake? He's an expert with mistakes. So every day is a new opportunity to trust the shepherd, to bring glory out of your bad decisions, to bring beauty out of ashes, to bring righteousness out of your shame. That's what he does. He's an expert shepherd. He knows we're sheep and he knows how to lead us. Can I get a amen? Can I get a meh? No, don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah. He knows we're sheep. It's in his name. And ultimately, this is the ultimate factor why you should trust Jesus. It's why he came. He didn't come for himself. Like, he left his glory. It says in Philippians 2, he humbled himself even to death on a cross. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He left his glory and his riches in heaven to come and be the good shepherd, to lay his life down for his sheep. And here's the crazy thing. Like, Jesus is the good shepherd because he was the lamb. Like, he died for the sheep. To become a good shepherd, he first became the lamb. He laid his life down for his sheep. So the fact of the gospel, the incarnation, that God became flesh and came and dwelt among us, and lived and taught and showed us the way, but ultimately came to die on a sinner's cross, a sinner's death, paying our debt so that we could be brought into the fold. Here, let me ask you a question. Can you trust somebody who lays their life down for you? Yeah. You can trust the one who will die for you. And this is what Jesus is getting at in John chapter 10. Let's look at it one more time. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. He lays his life down for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, he says. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay my life down for my sheep. See, Jesus is all in for the life and flourishing of the sheep. And this is the distinction he's making. The hired hand flees, but the good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. This is like what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 8. Paul says this, he goes, what then shall we conclude? What shall we say in response to what God has done through Jesus Christ? He's talking about in response to the gospel, the incarnation. What should we conclude? That if God is for us, if God, the I am that I am, the self-existent one, the one who needs nothing, if he is for us, who can be against us? And then he's like, he already knows, like Paul already knows the thing in your heart that says, well, how do I know God's for me? Here's how. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him give us all things? What's he saying? He's like, the Father already gave his most precious resource so that you and I could have life and life to the full. there's nothing more he can give. He's already given everything. If God is for us, who can be against us? Say it like this. Yahweh could not love you better, and he cannot love you more. The Good Shepherd has proven that he knows what we need, and he's willing to do whatever it takes for our benefit, even laying his life down, even giving up his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him would not have to perish but have everlasting life. So hear me on this. No one leads you better than Jesus. No one loves you better than Jesus. And no one knows you better than Jesus. Did you catch what he said earlier in John 10? He goes, my sheep know my voice, and I call them by name. I really like stir something in my heart, because I can sometimes think of like the macro effect of the gospel. Like in this big cosmic way, Jesus has died and rose again for the reconciliation of all things, and he's making all things new, and he is. But man, it does something to me when I realize like there's a specificity to the gospel as well. Like he died for Brent Ingersoll. Right? He died for Dan Lamas. He died for Carrie Broad. He died for you. He knows your name. I call my sheep by name. He knows your name. He knows your destiny. He knows the plans he has for you. He knows your true name. It says in Revelation that the ones that overcome, he says, I will give them a name known only to me. It means there's a version of us that he knows and he sees that we don't even know yet. And he is committed to bringing about, think about this just for a minute, sheep. He's committed to bringing about the glorification of his sheep. Like he's making us into glorious beings, and he will do it. And some of you are like, well, I'm that sheep in the ditch. He can do it. He's the good shepherd, and he knows your name. There's something so incredibly intimate about that thought that he knows your name. Just like think about that for a minute. It speaks to his awareness of us, of our past, our present, our future, our destiny. It speaks to his value of us. Like he values us to know enough to know our name. My wife and I, we watched a movie a couple weeks ago with my son, Alex. My youngest son's an only child this summer because my older two are working at Caton's Island. And so we've been trying to keep Alex off screen, so we watched a movie. don't judge me, you do it too. And we watched this cute movie on Prime called The Sheep Detective. Bear with me. It's a murder mystery, but it is a kids movie, and it's just like it's a cute movie, and it's about like this shepherd that like suddenly dies, and the sheep have to solve the mystery. It's really cute, but it's full of just like Christian truth. I don't think they set out to do that necessarily. I don't know. Maybe they did. But I talked about it at Christmas, how like every story points to the true story. And that story, like it was just, I cried like six times watching that movie. Because there's just so much, I was seeing so much Jesus and how he shepherds me. And there's like there's one scene where the sheep that are under the good shepherd's care, which is Hugh Jackman. I don't know what you do with that. Like Wolverine is the good shepherd, but that, anyway. And they're like, they meet this other group of sheep from another pasture, and like they find that this other sheep, they don't, like the shepherd doesn't know their name, they're just a number, they got an ear tag, there's no dignity, and there's no personality, and there's no intimacy with the shepherd. And the sheep in Hugh Jackman's fold, they're like, you know, our shepherd says every sheep deserves a name. And then there's this scene toward the end where the black sheep, his name's Sebastian, and like he was this black sheep that didn't really fit into the fold. And he finally opens up and he tells his story to some of the sheep in his herd, and he says, you know, I was beaten down, left for dead, had no one. And he goes, and the shepherd came in and he paid my debt and he took me home and gave me a life. And there's this picture, there's this scene of Hugh Jackman with this black sheep on his shoulders, walking him out of his old life. It's just this beautiful picture. I'm like, that's what Jesus did for me, right? It is. Like, that's the gospel. Like, the good shepherd came, he sought you out. You weren't looking for him. Like, I know we like to say, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. He found you. Well, you wandered off. You were in that ditch and back out, and he pulled you out and you ran back again. He finds you over and over again. He is relentless for his sheep. He's relentless. He told a story one time. He's like, you know what? Yahweh, God is like the shepherd who had 100 sheep and one went missing, and he left 99 behind just to find that one. He's relentless. And he pays the price so that you and I can have life in him. Jesus is the good shepherd. David says, I've decided that Yahweh is my shepherd. I'm trusting him with everything. He is my decision. So I ask you the question, who is your shepherd? What is leading your life? Make it Jesus. I feel like the older I get, maybe some people who are a little older than me, you don't have less hair than me, but maybe you're older than me. I feel like the older I get, the less I know. Like, the less I know for certain. It's funny, when I was 20 years old, I knew everything. where did that go? And it's like I'm less certain about more things than ever, and yet I'm more certain about what I'm certain about than I've ever been. And I am so certain that Jesus is the best bet for my life. Like, I've said this so many times, like in prayer, like to God, God, I'm banking everything on you. I'm just banking everything on you. I don't know everything that's going to happen. I know I'm going to make mistakes. I know there will be enemies. I have enemies. I know there's valleys and mountains ahead of me. There's also green pastures, and I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, all of it. But I'm trusting Jesus is going to work it all out. Because he's the good shepherd. And why can I trust? Because he died for me. What more proof do I need than such love that he would die for me? What? So with all the questions, like I think about what's going to happen, you know, with my health as I get older. Am I going to be healthy? Am I going to live long? I don't know. But I trust the shepherd. What's going to happen in the world? Is World War III going to happen? I don't know. But I trust the shepherd. What's going to happen with technology and AI? Seriously, though, are they going to harvest us? I don't know. But I trust the shepherd. I don't know what's going to happen in my family. I don't know what's going to happen to my loved ones as my parents get older, my siblings, my own kids. I mean, it can consume you with worry, can't it? And when that worry starts creeping in, you know, Jesus, I'm trusting you with all of that. And I'm thankful that he's able not just to lead me, but lead all that I love. He's my shepherd. He knows how to lead me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I'm not going to be afraid because the shepherd's with me. And his rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows with grace. So surely he's never going to abandon me. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I trust the shepherd. I trust the shepherd. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And he's resolved to follow the shepherd. Here's the last thing, the invitation. Simple. It's hard, but it's simple. Jesus says, follow me. That's the job of the believer. It's not to be good Christians. Like, obviously, we want to be good people. We want to do stuff. We want him to transform us. But the job of the Christian, follow him. Follow him. Did you catch it, what Jesus said in John 10? He said in verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice, and they follow me. So what's your job in the season of life you're in right now? Follow him. You're going through suffering, follow him. You're on the mountaintop, follow him. You're in the dark valley, follow him. Follow him. Following him is our job. It's not to be good. It's not to be successful. It's not to strive. It's not to be impressive. It's not to be brave. It's not to be strong. The job is follow the shepherd. Before I pray, here's a few quick ideas as to what that looks like. Best practices for following the good shepherd for all God's sheep. Number one, stop running off. Oh, I feel that. It's that line, what is it? Come thou fount. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Stop running off. Some of you, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus and you're still that dumb little sheep running. Stop running. You know what it is to become a Christian? Stop running and say, here I am, Jesus. Just yielding to him. Saying, you take my life. You take my life, shepherd. Stop running off. Listen. Trust him. Obey him. And then ultimately, stay close. Stay close. Jesus said, remain in me and you will bear much fruit. Remain in me. That's the job. Just stay as close as possible to Jesus. And I know there's times you feel so close and there's times he feels far. But my job is to try to abide and stay close to him. So we keep company with him. We pray every day. Even if it feels like he's not answering, we pray. Get in the word. Come to worship on Sunday. Be around God's people and get on mission with him. I find sometimes I feel closest to the shepherd when I'm out caring for sheep with him. It's funny, he's a shepherd and we're sheep, but he also gets good sheep to help other sheep. And it's so life-giving. Trust the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing. We'll talk about that next week. Would you stand? Let's pray. So Jesus, we hear your voice. Help us hear better. Father, for my brothers and sisters that are here right now and they're struggling, they're maybe in anxious times, difficult times, regret. Lord, I pray they hear your invitation as the good shepherd. Come, come over to me. Let me heal you, let me help you, let me protect you, let me provide for you. Father, for all the ways we've looked to the wrong shepherds, we're sorry, we repent. Help us trust you deeper. Thank you, our good shepherd who lays his life down for his sheep. We love you back. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.